Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. And in the same region there were shepherds, out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with those among those with whom he is pleased." Peace on earth. Still the Christmas season, that's why the wreath is still up and the candles are still lit. It's only the fifth day of Christmas. We've got seven more to go. But a strange thing happens in the church calendar during the Christmas season. On December 25th, we celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace. But then on December 26th, we commemorate Stephen, the first Christian martyr, a man executed for preaching Christ crucified. December 27th is the commemoration of the Apostle John, a man exiled to die in captivity for his proclamation of the gospel. December 28th, well, that's the day we set aside to remember the slaughter of the innocents. All those male children in Bethlehem and the surrounding regions who were mercilessly executed by Herod in his effort to slay the one who was born king of the Jews. And so it seems fair to ask why the angels are bringing tidings of peace when this child whose birth they were announcing would lead to so much bloodshed. When he himself would grow up to say, do not think that I have come to bring peace on this earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And then in today's gospel reading, the man Simeon says that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be opposed. And then to make matters worse, he looks at the mother. It tells Mary that Jesus will cause a sword to pierce through her soul also. So which is it? Did Jesus come to bring peace, like the angels sang, or a sword? Well, as I mentioned on Christmas Eve, perhaps the problem is not with the angels' message, but with our understanding of the word peace. You see, the peace that the angels announce, not just a slogan on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker. It's not political stability in Russia or Ukraine or the Middle East. It's not political parties reaching across the aisle to work together to finally balance the budget. It's not the silence. It's not the calm that finally falls over your house in January when the kids go back to school and life returns to its normal cycle. Now, as with much of our Lord's word, the world around us does not understand true peace. And as our Lord's children, we must be vigilant so that we don't let a false understanding of peace twist our Lord's promise. Peace, according to the world, is nothing more than the absence of anything that troubles you. But peace as absence is never true peace. There's always going to be something else threatening to wrench this so-called peace away. And so the world's peace is fraught with uncertainty. But true peace, the peace that the angels announced to the shepherds on that first Christmas, that's the Hebrew word shalom. And it's so much more than the absence of strife or the absence of conflict. No, shalom, the true peace, includes the presence of everything that our Lord would give to us. It's the establishment of the life that our Lord would have us live. The angels, those messengers of the Lord announcing the birth of Jesus, they're announcing that the greatest gift of the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ whom our Lord had promised, that gift had been delivered. And with the Christ comes shalom. And our Lord created us to live in shalom, to live in peace. Before the fall, Adam and Eve lived in peace with the Lord. In Eden, they lived in peace because they had everything the Lord had created for them. But once sin entered the picture, peace was lost. Adam and Eve no longer lived in the perfect garden with all their needs provided. Now they are forced to toil, to struggle to survive. And every person born since the fall has been missing that important piece of humanity, born without that peace, that shalom. Our sin has separated us from all that the Lord would give us. Actually makes us enemies of our Lord. And we're left toiling and struggling in our life apart from him. Our Lord promised in Leviticus that when his law is fulfilled, that friendship would be restored, and that he would give peace to his people. Because we are unable to fulfill the law, we are unable to find peace with our God by means of it. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Or as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Every kid who comes up here for a children's message can tell you that Jesus died for our sins, and that his death and resurrection are indeed our life and our salvation. And that is a good confession. But there's more to the gift of Christ than just his death, than just his resurrection. There is also his life. Remember that Jesus didn't appear out of nowhere as a grown man and just die for our sins. He was born as a baby, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. Not only did Jesus die for us, he lived for us too. From the time he was an infant, Jesus was working for our salvation, working to restore our peace with God by keeping the law perfectly as we could never do. Today's gospel reading tells us that Jesus was brought to the temple when the time came for him and his mother to be purified according to the law of Moses. He was purified for you. He himself is the pure Son of God. He doesn't need purification, but he did it for us. Luke also mentions that the circumcision of Jesus was done according to the law of Moses. Jesus was circumcised and purified according to the law in order to fulfill the law for us. He voluntarily subjected himself to the entire law of Moses, even though he didn't have to. The law that he himself had written, he voluntarily placed himself under its authority and accomplished for us what we are unable to accomplish for ourselves. But this fulfilling of the law comes with a price. The book of Leviticus makes that clear too. The shedding of blood is required for the fulfilling of the law, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your life. And in shedding his blood on the cross, Jesus completed the law, completed all that it required. Thus he cried out, "It is finished." Jesus did everything required in the law and yet still suffered death, fulfilled the law perfectly for us, and was punished as a lawbreaker. But that's the great gift. That's the exchange. He took our failure upon himself and gives to us freely his fulfillment. And because of this trade, the law has been fulfilled. We do now have peace with our God, as he promised in Leviticus. That's what Paul says in Romans 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, Simeon recognized this peace. Simeon acknowledged that this baby was the peace announced by the angel chorus. He saw in the baby Jesus, the Savior who would bring shalom to Yahweh's people. And so he took that baby up in his arms, and he thanked the Lord for this gift of peace, for the salvation of the world had arrived. Simeon spoke about departure and peace, not because he expected to be dead within a week, but because he recognized that in the baby Jesus, the salvation from above had truly come to earth. And so now, no matter when it came time for him to depart, he would do so at peace with the Lord because of the baby in his arms. And that then is why Simeon's song is our song too. Like Mary's song from last week, Simeon's song is treasured in the church. Like Simeon, we too are greeted with the peace of the Lord when Jesus, who is the salvation of the world, stands among us in his body and blood, in the bread and wine of this altar. We might not hold the infant Jesus in our hands, But we have held that body and blood in our mouths and our stomachs and our hearts and our lives. So we sing out with Simeon, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Because in the Lord we have the peace that world cannot give, the true peace, the shalom. In Jesus we have been given all the blessings of the Lord, blessings which this world cannot take away from us. It's that same peace that allowed Stephen, even in the midst of his own execution, to commend his spirit unto the Lord, to pray for the forgiveness of those who were his executioners. Such peace, such calm of spirit is possible only when we know that our salvation is secure. That there's nothing in this world strong enough to wrench it from the hands of faith. This world will never give us true peace. For in this world are moth and rust and decay. There are thieves who break in and steal. There's always one more threat of war, threat of one more disaster, one more tragedy looming just over the horizon. But as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, as we prepare for the beginning of another new year, we do so with the joy of knowing what else is looming just over the horizon. The return of our Lord Jesus to take us to spend eternity with him in paradise. And we know that when he returns, it will not be to punish us, but to claim us as his treasured possession. We know this because we are at peace with God. For Jesus has fulfilled the law, reconciling us to God and giving to us the ministry of reconciliation. So as we live in a world that's filled with such disarray and with scandal and with chaos, we have the gift of the peace of Christ that rules in our hearts. And so as we prepare to enter this new year, may the peace of our Lord guard your minds and your hearts in the true faith unto life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.